We are the latest generation of hackers. We grew up playing video games. We were the ones who looked for all the hidden items and figured out cheat codes. We saw what computers could do and thought, I think we can do more. We heard of hackers from the mass media and thought, I want to know exactly how to do what they do. Even as these hackers were made out to be criminals, we still wanted to learn. We eventually found out that hacking is not evil, which settled better with our morals. We're here to share and educate. We are BaseNet Radio.
Hello world, this is Slicko, your host. With me today for episode 9 of BaseNet Radio is Morbid, Silent Slade, and D-Mad.
What's up?
Hey!
What's up?
We have a few sections to the show, news, email, if any, and distro of the week. And we are adding a new section called BaseNet on the Road. This section will be pretty much about where we go, what we do, if we come across anybody interesting we want to interview. Pretty much just asking them basic questions like, what do you think of hacking and whatnot? And also, like, if we go to a 2600 meeting, say?
Yeah, or we just run into someone in the street, or whatever.
Yeah, so we'll do stuff, and we'll have fun.
Yeah, we also have a couple other sections that we want to start bringing to the show, but they kind of involve audience participation on your part, the listener.
Yes, give us questions, and we'll try to research an answer up for you.
Send some email. Just say hi. Yeah, whatever.
Remember, this show is for you guys, so if you have a question that you want answered, send it to us at BaseNet.
At SlickZero.net.
With the subject heading question. Questions
or whatever.
Of the week, whatever. It something dealing with questions. And we'll research it and we'll try to get it to you as fast as possible.
Uh-huh. It doesn't matter what the subject is. I mean, it could be spam and we'll check it anyway just to see what it is.
That's true.
Doesn't D-Man talk, you know?
It likes to be organized. It'd be nice to have it a little organized, but that's just me.
Anyway, of course, any reproduction or retransmission of this material is
encouraged.
Do it.
That's why this MP3 is available for download at our website, basenet.slickzero.net. Anyway, let's...
And don't forget, episodes are just long enough to fit on a CD and give it to someone.
Yeah, that's true, if you want to. All right, well, it's time for the news.
And let's start with the news section today. First things first, been a pretty good week. And I want to talk to you guys about USB.
USB? Why?
Yeah. Because everything is turning into wireless, so most of our devices are running USB now. And the next big jump is for USB to go wireless.
Ooh.
Yeah. So instead of having, you know, that USB hub in your house with your iRiver snapped in, what else do you have? Your USB jump drive is jumped in there, your printer's typed in. What else do I have at home? I have my keypad, my little joypad.
Why are you telling me what I have plugged in? That's all what you have plugged in.
You have your iRiver plugged in.
Yeah, I have my iRiver. I had my iRiver plugged in before, but it's not now.
Yeah, but most people have printers. They'll have that stupid webcam. Some people use their USB jump drives for authentication now. So eventually you're running out of ports and you're buying a hub. But if you do it wirelessly, hey, less wires, less mess. Less clutter. Works.
I guess it does.
Okay, yeah, so the Intel, they were working on getting the specifications for it, and they're working on ultra-wideband wireless technology with Y-Media Alliance to try to make the UWB standard for wireless USB. It's creepy. And they want to make it as fast as USB 2.0 is, but without the wires.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how far the 480? Distance on that. Yeah, but I don't know what the distance on that would be, because, hell, if it's that fast, might as well use that for wireless
access. As far as Bluetooth, maybe.
Yeah, maybe about 30 feet like Bluetooth is.
Yeah.
Of course, this opens up the door for people to get into your computer via USB.
Yeah.
Well, if it's only for stuff which is kind of close to the your actual PC, mm-hmm. it might have a very really short range.
True, but that's what laser antennas and shit are for.
Enough for like a size of a small room or something, who knows.
Yeah, but remember the Cantenna incidents?
Yes, I remember them. I don't need to anymore, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you were the one committing to them.
Did you never tried out that big
no, I
dish
didn't.
Thing off Hackaday?
I was too lazy to make it.
It's not that hard. Aluminum foil and a little spawn.
Yeah, I don't see how it would have worked to boost yours if you made it. I think it would have, like, if they happen to point it in the direction of you, it mm-hmm. would have helped, but not if you made it, because it would kind of deflect the signal the other way.
Oh, wait, actually, taking a look, there's more to the article at the bottom here. Looks like they wanted to make it go up to 3 to 4 meters. 3 to 4 meters is like what?
3 to 4 meters?
Oh. 15 feet?
Yeah, no, that's the 480 megabytes.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that's 3 to 4 meters. USB 2.0 speed.
And 110 at 10 meters.
Yeah, 1 meter is like, what, a yard?
I don't know.
Give or take?
1 meter is...
Isn't a meter...
Roughly less than a yard, or less roughly yard? More? I forget which is which.
So a yard is 3 feet.
Go to Google. And
4 meters, fuck it. It's about roughly 12 to 15 feet we're talking here. That's not that far.
No, it isn't.
So it's some. It might not even reach across your room.
Yeah.
Come to think of it. So that's not really that far.
It's about as far as a USB cable.
USB cables only go up to, what, 6 feet?
Yeah, it's a little longer.
So, yeah.
That's not bad, though.
It'll work.
13.123 feet.
So would you think you would opt for something like this? USB wireless? Is that worth it?
If it's as cheap or cheaper than USB, yeah.
So, yeah, no,
but you can get USB cables for 10 cents.
Yeah, probably.
I have.
Okay.
But would this
and
be...
And closed.
Would this be something where it's wireless and the product itself is still get plugged in? Cause, or would it be just like the kind of wireless products where, like the keyboards and mice where you have to use batteries?
My guess is it'll probably have some sort of like wireless hub that you can put the equipment into. Let's say you have a printer, you pop it into the hub, yeah. Or they probably have little USB like radio antennas that mm-hmm. you pop into the USB in the back of the equipment, and then one antenna for your PC itself.
Okay.
You guys alright?
Yeah. This seems interesting.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that they make this thing much more secure than Wi-Fi. I'm praying that they make it more secure than Wi-Fi.
What would you call this? Like, sneaking into other people's equipment?
I don't know.
War busing?
War busing.
Something like that? U.S. Universal Serial Bus? Anyway, it's gonna be fun. I want to play with wireless USB for a little bit.
Sounds like fun.
I mean, maybe you can finally get 256 devices on one port for once. I've never seen anyone do more than like 8. Have you ever seen anyone use the full capacity
Not
for their
really.
USB? No, I didn't think so. Whatever.
Actually, I'd like to try that just to see if it works, because they claim you could daisy chain up to 127 devices together, was it?
126
or was it 255?
I think it's 100.
127, I believe.
100 and some odd on one, and if you have two, which most people do, you can do 256.
Right.
254, was it?
Well, it's double 127, which would be... Or it could be... Yeah, probably
254.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
That's what it was. And then, like, there was for some reason or other.
I'm bad with math. I'm sorry.
Who cares?
As people are, like, screaming at their computers.
What's wrong with you? Anyway. Let's see what else we got going on here. All right. Oh, I like this one. This is something off the dot, which we try to stay away from.
Yes.
But I saw it, and I thought, hey, man, I want to try this shit. You can actually build your own PBX. Using
asterisk,
pretty inexpensive gear. Like you can use your old computer that you have lying in the closet. Like they were on the article here, they're talking about a P2450. I got that. 386 megabytes of RAM.
Do you have that?
I'll have to steal that from someone. 12
Stealing's bad.
I'll borrow it. I'll give it back after the group breaks. 12 gigabytes hard drive. I have like at least 20. Didn't I give you a 40? 48x CD-ROM drive.
$5 at a show.
Yeah, you can get that for like $3 used on eBay. Yeah, so for that, for a total of $50 worth of equipment. And what is this? An X100 FX Pro card, whatever. Pop that in. Load Asterix at home. And you got yourself a voice over IP gateway.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah,
so can you spoof CID with one of those?
Well,
I believe it's a possibility.
Yeah, caller ID, call waiting,
a lot of other
options you can do with this.
So you could send out outgoing caller ID as well.
Yeah, you can host your own voicemail service.
That's true.
That would be nice.
Wow.
Hmm?
So now instead of calling up just the 1-800 numbers and getting those annoying voicemail services, you'll be calling up people's houses and getting
annoying. Not only will you be getting voicemail, you can do a whole bunch of other stuff.
Could you make it so you could have hold music on your own phone? Because that'd be awesome.
You can.
Yeah.
It's a PBX, dude.
That's so cool.
You can provide phone service for your entire building.
I want to make it so when I put someone on call waiting, it has
banana phone.
Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be evil. No, some nice little elevator music in the background.
Oh, no. You know what I would stream? This. This is the whole music. Right here.
Yeah, right.
People would actually won't mind being on hold, at least. Not for too long. It's enjoyable.
Depends on the people.
People who call me.
Okay.
And if you're calling me and you don't like this music, then I don't want to talk to you. In any case.
You're not nerdy enough.
Not nerdy enough for me. Get off my line. Like, oh, well, let's see what other things you can do with this. You can put music. Yeah, hold music. Hold music while you transfer people. Enhance 911. That's nice. If you ever used Enhanced 911 before, it lets you know exactly where you're calling from for when you're dying and you just hit 911 fall over. At least they know you are.
What? That's good. Sorry.
And wow, you can even blacklist numbers and it'll automatically drop the calls for you.
Ooh.
That's awesome.
That's nice.
That's nice. So whenever Slick calls and I'm sleeping, between this time and this time, Slick gets dropped. That's how it works.
Yeah, I'll have to call you at like 4 a.m.
Call me later or leave a voicemail. That's cool. Right. Look at this. This is so cheap. Anyway, but the only problem is you still require a phone line of some sort.
Well, yeah, you're not going to get free phone service just with a magical box in your house.
Well, for now.
Yeah, Wi-Fi phones.
Wi-Fi phones, WiMAX phones.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that WiMAX thing.
It's still too early to tell, but I mean, there are companies already making money off of it.
That's good.
They're selling pre-WiMAX equipment.
Okay.
And setting up WiMAX in a local area for small companies. Hmm. And
there's always people who jump on the new trends to.
I mean, come on.
Get in there first in case it picks up.
It's like how much? 400 megabits per second over like 28 miles. That's insane.
All right. Well, here's another story.
Okay.
Possible domain poisoning underway. Security experts late Friday warned that a DNS cache poisoning attack may be underway and redirecting users from some of the most popular websites to a malicious URL where spyware and adware is invisibly installed onto their computers.
Of course, we don't run Windows.
Yes, so I mean, if you run something that's vulnerable to something such as spyware or adware, then okay, you might be a little screwed.
And when did this start happening? A few weeks ago?
Well, this Well, let's see. What's the date on this article? March 4th.
So a couple days ago.
So it's 3 days old.
And by March 4th, I don't mean start marching forward. I mean the date.
Let's see.
The article goes on. According to the Internet Storm Center, which has posted an alert on its website. What?
No, I just don't like the ISS.
ISC. Internet Storm Center.
Oh, never mind.
ISC,
no, ISS is Internet Security Systems. Never
yeah.
mind. Those are the network ice bastards. Go on.
Well, according to the ISC, which posted an alert on its website, it had received reports that the attack was redirecting traffic from popular domains such as Google.com, eBay.com, and Weather.com.
Yeah, redirecting off of Google. That's mean.
Yeah. Anyway, it says DNS cache poisoning occurs when an attacker hacks onto a domain name server. Wait a minute.
I don't like the way that sounds.
No, neither do I. Hacks onto a domain name server. How do you hack onto a domain name server? I could see knowing a bunch of holes and seeing which one the domain name server has and entering through that hole.
But, like a sub-7 Trojan hole.
Yeah.
Hole or something.
But where is hacking on that?
Unless you literally went over there, wrote your own program while you were on the domain name server, went home and did it yourself, that would be considered hacking. If you made the security hole yourself, you planted it there.
That's not even a hack. Because if you know what you're doing already and you're not, like...
That's true.
Trying to work around how to make it work for you, it's just like... Eh, whatever. He's
kind of silly.
Yeah.
Anyway, they continue to say.
Yes,
hack, supposedly.
Yes, hacks into a domain name server. I'll restate that sentence. DNS cache poisoning occurs when an attacker gets onto a domain name server, then poisons the cache by planting counterfeit data in the cache of the name server.
Okay.
When a user requests, say, ebay.com, and the IP address is resolved by the hacked, I do this with quotes, domain server, the bogus data is fed back to the browser.
And, of course, that leads them to, like...
The wrong IP address for...
I fucked you over .net, and you download, like, my search, and, like, I stole your, like, credit card password account stuff. Wonderful little program that leeches on and
you start playing Tetris.
Yeah, and a little Tetris program gets installed and you launch it and then you start playing while it's sending all your information home.
What is this?
Yeah, this is that's
because you were telling me about that before. So.
Yeah, that was something that happened a month ago or two. It was like January somewhere. I remember reading about this worm. What was the name of that stupid little worm? Okay. It was supposed to be set up so that it loads onto your computer and installs like a small version of Tetris and you can start playing the game.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, I think it was called the Celery Worm.
Until you realize that it's doing something else.
Right. It's like, you know, like, oh, cool, Tetris. I didn't know someone put this on here. You start playing Tetris. And of course, while you're doing that, God knows what the worm has been programmed to do at this point. I mean, at that point, by now it's been cleared up. It's already part of the list of all the antivirus suites, but you can, of course, rewrite it to do something else. God knows what... If you see Tetris on your computer and you don't know where it came from, you might want to consider looking into that.
Yeah. It's...
This isn't the first time that happened, either. I think the first... one of the first viruses that infected systems back in the day had a game built in. I think it was the game Animal over on old UNIVAC systems. And back in the day, you used to spread, instead of, you know, over the web or anything, you'd spread it on the magnetic disk you take over, like floppies or anything. Right.
Could you play Tetris on that one, too?
No, Animal. Oh. Don't know how that works. Never played Animal before. Well, I should look into it.
Tetris sounds like more fun, though.
Yeah, Tetris is a little too addicting.
Yeah.
Just a tad.
Yeah, watch the stream starts playing Tetris music soon.
No, this kind of sounds like a really early version of Banana Phone.
Wow.
Okay. Sounds like Earthbound to my ass, but okay. Anyway. I'll tell you exactly what that is.
No, you won't.
No?
You won't.
You won't be able to.
I know. You guys did something bad.
What, we took the stream and limited it beforehand, so...
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not coming right off the server.
They don't like that. They're too frowned upon that recording crap. Anyway.
Oh, well.
Who cares, right? Ooh. Here's a problem, and this is pretty big. We were talking about making your own PBX before, right? How you can stream voice over IP over your home and set up as many phones as you want. Now, what do you think voice over IP? What themes do you think of?
When I think of VoIP?
Skype, for one.
Packet 8.
Packet 8.
The local cable companies.
Telco.
Oh, and Vonage.
Vonage, yes. Right. Vonage is one.
What about them?
Vonage? Well, unfortunately, a couple days ago, I think this is actually probably on the 6th, at around 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time.
Okay.
Vonage went black. The lines were dark. Quiet.
No calls were going in.
For 45 minutes, no voice over IP calls were going through.
Okay.
Now, Vonage is what? The biggest voice over IP provider in the country?
Probably.
Can you imagine not being able to make a phone call for 45 minutes and you use your phone line?
I have a cell phone, I don't care.
During business hours.
I think my cell phone's going to be the only phone I use, so I don't care.
Well, it'd be nice for the lazy workers who will use an excuse to do nothing.
That's true.
Yeah, if they offer business services and a business is using Vonage for that, then...
I mean, that's pretty badass when you have...
How many... Does it say in the article how many customers they have? I'm sure you could look that up easily anyway.
You can probably look that up anywhere you want to. Let's see. And it was, you know, it wasn't hardware failure. It was actually all due to a software update. They updated their software. Bang. They go down.
That's...
They didn't have any
kind of
backup.
Well, now sounds like what cable companies do anyway.
It reminds me of AT&T back in the day when they had updated one of their switches.
Okay.
And when the switch couldn't route any calls, it would crash, and the next switch takes over. But it had the same update. So when it reaches a certain amount of calls, it can't route anymore. Crash.
And then they go back to the first one, which was
it'll try to go back to the first
fixed.
One. Can't. It'll try to go back to another one. Can't. When it finally reaches a third switch, it'll overload that one. That one will go down. And then the whole network went down.
So kind of like what happened with the power outage a couple summers ago.
Except similar.
Uh-huh.
Phone company wise.
Pretty
well,
much.
Well, switch wise, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, at that point it was just long distance calls, but at this point it's any call.
Yeah, that's...
Vonage, which is kind of worse.
Yeah,
that but it's only
really
45
does
minutes. And it's only VoIP, so, I mean... POTS still worked if you had it. Let's see.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's an interesting tone. I mean, you worry about these things when you put your faith in a new company. What happens if they fuck up like this?
Yeah. Stuff not good will happen.
And if it happened at 7 at night when no one's there... Or not as many people there? Would they have been able to fix it? Or would they have to call the programmers in by the time you go? You won't have phone service till morning.
That's a good question.
Eek. Makes me wonder. I mean, I was considering getting to Packet 8 myself.
Yeah.
I looked at their website, their $29.95 plan or something like that. They charge an install of $30, $40. It's kind of high.
Your first build that's a like high 80. Install. Wow.
I don't know, they send you a whole modem / routing thing.
Can you do it yourself, or...?
I wish I could, but then you need to activate your account. They give you a phone number and all this other crap. The cool thing is you can get phone numbers with, like, other area codes. So I can live here, and I can get a phone number in Washington State.
That sounds like fun.
Like a local Microsoft number or something.
Call someone, say you're Bill Gates.
Yeah. Now, I wonder the limit of the accounts you can have per household. Because I can have multiple different numbers in different places. Make me look like a different person.
Run gambling rings,
right? Right out of my house. Over VoIP.
Like they used to do in my house before we moved in.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
They ran gambling rings
in your
house?
Did something because, like, every single room had numerous phone lines and run through it. And the FBI came to our house, like, about 2 months after we... moved in, asking for where they were.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Nice. You live in that kind of neighborhood, huh?
No! That, which means you wouldn't expect it.
That's crazy.
That's a couple blocks over.
So, are any of those phone lines still active?
No.
Have you tested them out?
No, I think my parents got them. Rid of them.
Got rid of them?
Yeah. Got them out, pulled them out, or some shit like that.
I would have routed them together in the house and made an internal phone system with all that shit.
Sounds like fun, yeah.
You don't know my family.
Okay.
Anyhow.
Seriously, you can run an intercom system for all the rooms in the house and go, bring me water, bitch. Anyway.
Yes.
Go on, you have news.
Yeah, I guess I do. Nokia Nix's fuel cells development project.
Mm-hmm.
Fuel cells?
Well, in the past, the like mobile phone companies were thinking of instead of using the NIMH or Lion batteries that are very common, they're going to be using fuel cells.
See, when I think fuel cells, I think cars.
I think putting gasoline in your cell phone.
Yes,
you know
exactly. Putting gasoline in the battery, small enough where it will power it for hours.
That's crazy.
However, it's not worth it.
Yeah, because when you drop your phone and it catches fire.
Well, besides... Well, I mean, they do that already, but...
Well, fuel cells aren't really gasoline. It's a different alternate.
True, but, you know, it's still flammable, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. And that's... Yeah, I mean, it's not like... It's... What does it say here? Arrangements to distribute and supply methanol have proved trickier to arrange than Nokia first expected.
Methanol. Oh, man.
So, yeah.
You that's can kill what, someone with a phone. Literally.
Pop a hole in the fuel cell and get high.
I mean, well, no, not just that, but think of the security risks. You bring a cell phone into a place, you can use the cell phone as a bomb to open up a door.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, think about it. That's pretty...
James Bond stuff here?
Yeah, we're talking James Bond stuff.
That's kind of cool. I think they should bring it on.
No, but then you're going to see commercial. You're going to see, like, this James Bond movie, and it'll be like, I need to borrow your phone. I need to get into this door. You got to bust down this door. I'm like, damn it. But I'm on a call.
I'm on a call.
And it's peak hours, too, so just let me get through this, and we'll break the door.
I need to make this call. I'm on the phone with my provider. I'm trying to get my plan switched. Hold on.
It's a pretty good business idea, though.
you get to pay per refill.
Per refill. Great. That's interesting. I get unlimited calls as long as I got this refill.
Yeah.
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 Oh, man.
I think it's an excellent idea.
The hack, of course, is to fill it yourself.
Yeah, like with the ink refills.
Ink refills for, yeah, until they put that chip in.
Well, some companies did.
Lexar did it.
What?
All the gay companies did it.
Lexar, HP, Epson, they tried to do that.
Lexmark, not Lexar.
Lexmark. Lexar
is
the
exactly.
Memory people. Never mind. Yeah. Someone else.
Yeah, so Nokia is not going for that anymore.
That would have been fun.
But yeah, it says a fuel cell would be refilled the same way a cigarette lighter is refilled when it runs out of butane.
All right, so you just get a little can and squeeze in. It's not bad. But still seems dangerous. Especially for something you put next to your face.
Yeah. Anyway, here's something kind of interesting. The title of this article definitely caught my eye.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Intel's 100-core chip could power intelligent toilet.
Intelligent toilet?
Wait, you get a 100-core chip and you pick a toilet?
Well,
that's probably why you picked the article. It's like, what?
It's
kind of like the sexual robot.
Does it know when you're a male or female to lower or raise the
it's an auto flusher.
Oh, you're kidding.
I don't know.
They have those already. It's called infrared.
Well, I guess it would be able to clean it. I read this, but I forgot it.
Oh, it wants to clean itself?
Adjust the seat for bad aim.
Adjust the seat for bad aim.
Okay.
The ball moves over. Yeah. It leans in.
I'll read the article. Those of you who just do a bit of web surfing, typing an email, may be struggling to figure out how to get a little more out of that new 3.6 gigahertz chip. Have no fear. In 10 years' time, you can try to figure out how to use the 100-core processor many, many times more powerful than your current Pentium. So said Intel senior fellow Justin Ratner today at the Intel Developer Forum. Intel is one of a number of companies turning today's single-core processors into dual-core, four-core, and the multi-core chip. Isn't dual-core and four-core multi-core as well?
Yeah, anything that's not single-core is multi-core, yes.
And right. I think that doesn't move very well.
Yeah, I guess not. Much of this horsepower is aimed at server market, where some customers clamor for as much juice as possible. Ratner, however, thinks consumers can make use of the technology as well. Imagine a home that helps you live a healthy lifestyle, he said during a keynote address. It actually monitors you as you live and looks for early signs of disease.
Wait, this is a toilet?
This is a toilet.
I think...
Infected user.
So there's Intel's 100-core chip helping your toilet examine the morning delivery for signs of blood or God knows what else. The powerful toilet can call the doctor and schedule an appointment if it notices suspicious stool.
Wait, are
She's
you
on
serious?
The rag. She's on the rag. She's on the rag.
Wait. It will call the doctor? It's hard enough to make an appointment when you call the doctor.
Wow.
It'll schedule the worst one. Sunday night.
Checking, okay. Of course, with your online calendar for an appropriate time. Or should you collapse right then and there, the toilet can call for an ambulance.
Yay. Is this like I fall in and I can't get up thing?
I have no idea, but I do not want this in my
house. Except it's with the toilet.
I would not want this in my house. This toilet is checking my stool It's telling people that I've got diseases and it's making appointments for me without my knowledge.
Slave got worms. Slave got worms.
Wow.
I knew that damn burger around the clock tasted funny.
All kidding aside, such a toilet could be helpful and even witty. Who wouldn't want a reminder like, easy big boy, the 10-ounce cup will do next time in the morning? Or even...
You wait, it's going to talk to you and make comments? Wait, you
know this? I think the author of this article made these comments.
Is this like the vertical people transporters that try to do it cheerfully?
In the morning, or even, you've got mail and a herpes outbreak. That was written in the article. Intel Inside, indeed.
Wow.
Who wrote this?
It's going deeper inside every day.
This was from the Register. The article is by Ashley Vance. Okay.
Ashley Vance, we need to do an interview with Ashley Vance. Seriously.
We need to check out that toilet. That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, you know what happens if you're like dumping shit? You know how sometimes you have like dirty water and you're just like, what if you dump it in the toilet?
What if
will your toilet wig out when you're dumping dirty water in it?
What about if you have like a goldfish that dies so you flush it down the toilet?
Or how about what? No. Remember the water.
It'll book an appointment because you improperly digested it, a food item.
Recently in my area, the water company that services this area. In one of their tanks, there was a dead person discovered.
Oh, God.
So imagine if that water gets flushed into the toilet from the tank.
Oh, it calls the cops and says you're...
It calls the cops. You're hacking up bodies and you're throwing them in the toilet. Oh, great. Then you get arrested for having dirty water.
Lovely. Oh, wow.
There's too many things that can go wrong with that. Here's another possibility. What happens if, like, stray animals jump into your toilet? You know, bugs.
Wait, bugs. I'm like, what stray animals do you have going in your toilet? Seriously.
Rats, mice, bugs. Oh, yeah, you know, stuff that can jump in on their own accord.
Then what about...
What will the toilet do?
And also dogs drink out of the toilets.
Oh, dogs drinking out of the toilet. That's another one.
Yeah, their tongues are going to be something that'll bring
improper
about questions.
Cleaning device.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It sounds like was this Intel doing this?
Yeah.
It sounds like Intel's turned into Sirius Cybernetics Corporation.
A scary cybernetics corporation.
Hmm?
A scary cybernetics corporation. Oh, God. So if your dog licks the toilet bowl, let's put it this way. You're going to wake up the next morning and you're going to have three doctor's appointments because, one, you have a rash you can't explain. Two, you've got rabies. And
wow.
And three, saliva is coming out of your ass.
Interesting.
It's crazy. How the hell do you explain that to your doctor? My toilet made me do it? What the fuck?
The dog ate the homework.
Oh, God.
What if you have, never mind.
No, go ahead.
Never mind. Just avoid it. Leave it.
Always blame it on the dog.
The dog licked the toilet bowl again. Yeah, that's it. That's gonna be a big excuse. Anyway.
It's probably gonna be the only honest one. I don't think that's really gonna happen.
I don't think I'm gonna buy that
toilet. I think that would be hilarious.
Yeah, right. You want a toilet the entire tank of it, it says Intel Inside.
A toilet whose humor is even less understood than mine. Seriously.
What will scare me is if it talks back.
It's probably going to. It's going to make some stupid comments about you. Probably has a little camera watching you, so it can notice things.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like, have a bad day, Bob.
The teletoilet.
Have a bad day, Bob. You look stressed. Wanna...
That's, you know...
The water thing.
The water thing.
Listen, if this AI is actually created by the time... When that toilet's
15
around,
years or so? Yeah.
I mean, what's the toilet gonna think? It's gonna be like, I have the brain the size of a galaxy and I'm stuck doing this.
It's gonna be extremely depressed.
I'm stuck doing shit.
Exactly.
You're not gonna want to talk to that thing.
Here's the scary part. What happens if it gets that update where it starts to lust after other objects?
Oh, no.
Oh, God. And then you have the, what is that water spout, thing in your toilet?
The bidet?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The bidet. Okay, we're completely going off topic here.
Actually, it's pretty on topic. This is highly possible.
Oh, God.
It's this not good, but it's possible. Anyway, So let's enough about the happy toilet that does crazy shit to you, or does crazy things about your shit. Either way, what else do we have going on?
Someone's getting killed.
That must be the toilet again. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Happens a lot. Okay. What other news items we have?
Do we have other news items?
Yeah, I did, and it got lost.
How do you lose news?
By sending it to the wrong terminal window.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah, what are you doing?
News clips. Looking for it.
All right, well...
There you go. No.
That's not it.
That's not it?
You got something. I'll
find it. Listen to the screams for a little while.
What the hell are they... I don't want to know.
Oh, well.
I lost it.
BMI nails music pirates. I'll do news.
BMI.
BPI. BPI nails music pirates. UK... I'm thinking BMI because it's another... It's a licensing thing. Anyway, UK music fans have agreed to pay thousands of pounds in compensation for distributing music illegally via peer-to-peer networks. The BPI, British Phonographic Industry, announced Friday. Music fans paid up to £4,500 each in a series of 23 settlements and agreed to accept injunctions against them illegally uploading music again. The BPI announced a further 31 cases across 8 different peer-to-peer networks are in the pipeline as part of its attempt to broaden its campaign against illicit file sharing on the net. Other actions may follow.
Damn.
Yeah.
How many people again?
Let's see. It was
insane.
A series of 23 settlements and a further 31 cases.
One of them isn't that case about the dead lady that got a while back.
Yeah, we talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we never did it on air. We did it before this show. We never mentioned it.
We never got around to that.
A dead woman was actually...
charged with file sharing?
Yeah, she died, and about 2 months later, her daughter received a subpoena to appear in court in her mother's name, saying, you know, she was... distributing music every day on the network as like Living Dead Girl something or other, and this old woman didn't even own a computer. It's crazy.
And she was dead.
Sounds like my type of girl.
So dead woman with no computer was distributing music illegally over the internet. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually they threw the case out, but it goes to show you that they really do a lot of research when it comes to this stuff. They're really on point. They know their game really well.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, did you find your news yet? That was kind of filler news.
Yeah, that was kind of... Let's see, I remember having one thing on Dell, but then, I killed Firefox by accident. I found it again in a different site.
Killing's bad. You shouldn't kill.
Let's see. You know how Dell... they have those finance plans. You can buy the computer and then you pay such and such amount a month until you pay it off.
A lot of places do that.
A lot of places do that. Well, it looks like Dell did a bait and switch kind of deal. They set you up with a certain finance percentage a month and then they raise it a few months in.
Yeah. Okay.
To make more money. And of course, you know, some people were hip to that, realized that their percentage changed, and they're filing a lawsuit against them.
Yeah, but in the contract, does it say after a couple months it'll change?
Probably not. It probably has some sort of disclaimer that we're allowed to change anything at any time.
Then they can't sue. Then it
won't
hold up.
But if in the advertisement it never said that, then...
It's probably in the fine print at the end of the credits that you can't read because it's so small.
Curiosity. I have a Dell advertisement.
What are you doing?
I have a Dell advertisement in my bag.
I hope that's your bag. Because I could... For the people that can only hear you...
Yeah.
They
doesn't
don't know
sound
what that
good
zipper
at all,
is.
Does it? My bag is in my pants.
Yeah.
Alright, what? What bag are we talking about now?
Okay.
Let's not go there. Well, this is a Dell ad.
Well, this whole thing is a Dell ad.
Let's see, do they have the finance plans in here? It doesn't actually.
It'd probably be something at the bottom of those. It'd have to be, because.
Here they go. Lease as low as $24 a month,
but there's
48.
There's a star there.
Months. Yes, there is a star, you're right. Where does that star lead? See page 20 for more details. Then you fly over to the back of page. Oh my lord! This is page 20.
Exactly.
Page 20 is nothing but fine print.
So the exactly. Whole page. So there's probably.
Whoa! Is that a Microsoft ULA printed on there?
Probably.
So there's probably no case whatsoever because the people probably did not read all the fine print.
This is insane.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to read that.
I mean, this is their trademark section is most of it though. Where is it about
trademark sections? Are fun. Did you ever read any trademark stuff?
Not for Dell. What, you have some?
I have something from Intel.
Okay.
When you buy their chip, they give you this nice little sticker.
Oh yeah, the sticker you put on your PC.
Here's a little funny thing right now. Use of the enclosed Intel Inside logo label is unauthorized and constitutes infringement of Intel's exclusive trademark rights unless you have signed the Intel Inside logo trademark license that is currently in effect.
Wait, and how do you sign
this? This?
This came with my Pentium 4.
Okay, where do you sign this agreement?
Yeah.
Well, it's you have to like
ask for one.
So unless the manufacturer that you buy the computer from provides you with the sticker on your case, it's more or less, unless you have signed one of these agreements yourself,
you're not allowed to use it.
Wow. That's kind of nice.
Got it. Okay. For the 48-month lease, I figured. Go on. Okay. You continue.
Well, yeah, I'll continue with this. What's it called? Yes. Logo labels may only be placed on qualified computer systems using the Intel boxed processor shipped with the logo label.
Oh, so
all must comply with the Intel Inside logo trademark license that you have signed. To obtain a license, contact Intel at http://www.intel.com/reseller/license. So there you go, Jesus. What you're asking.
Yeah, but pretty much if you buy it and it's going on, the sticker's going on the box where you have the processor in, it's fine. Unless, if you want to put it anywhere else, you have to go get a license agreement.
Place the enclosed Intel Inside logo label on the front bezel of the system, only in which the Intel processor has been installed. Wait. Well, what if you want to put it out, like, back of the case?
Here's a question.
Can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
I have a question.
You can't put it on the CD.
You install the processor into a system, and then if you take the chip out, it's already been installed. Did you break any agreements?
Yes.
How?
Well, because, logo labels may only be placed on qualified computer systems using the Intel box processor shipped with the logo label.
Okay, so it was using it. You put it on. Now you've fulfilled that part of the agreement.
Yeah, but I guess if you take it out...
You take out the processor and it's no longer filled. You have to take the label off. It does no longer have the Intel chip in there. Isn't this, like, the craziest thing you've ever heard?
It's retarded. It's like a sticker, people!
It's a 1-inch by 1-inch sticker. I mean, it's probably less than an inch,
I understand that they're trying to say it so that you don't sell a computer with a Celeron in it to people. I can sort of see where they're going with that, but still. It's a sticker.
Yeah, but then...
It's not the end of the world.
You could if that's the case where somebody's selling you something that's not as advertised, that's just, like, a Better Business Bureau-type deal thing.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, speaking of Better Business, I found their little fine print in the Dell ad. On page 20 of this, you know, ad...
Fresh or thing.
The ad whore manual that they sent me. The monthly payment based on a 48-month fair market value, or FMV, quick lease, and does not include taxes, fees, shipping charges, yada yada. Your monthly payment may vary depending on your... And this is a word, supposedly. Credit worthiness. At the end of the FMV quick lease, you can purchase the equipment for then FMV, renew the lease, or return the equipment to DFS. Who the hell DFS is? Probably something with Dell. Please contact your DFS representative for further services, probably. Probably, but I can't be certain, so I don't want to say.
I guess it makes sense. The same way thing with cars. Like, they give you an APR, but it's only subject to, if you apply...
You have to apply and get a thing.
Yeah, subject for, like, approval. So it's the same thing. They give you the thing, but I guess if you have bad credit,
they're going to raise it.
They're going to raise it so they make more money off of you and whatnot.
So I have bad credit, so you're going to leech me for another $1,000 on my crappy, it's going to die in a year PC. Yeah. Yay!
But the thing is, this case, because of that, the case should not hold up in court because they had it in the fine print and the people probably just didn't read it.
And just out of logical conclusion, they must have sign the reseller agreement because there's the FIFA logo. Anyway, that's useless and interesting. Yeah. Good to know. So if anyone out there is going to get a Dell, consider that finance agreement and consider that you might get ripped off.
So if you just want to get a Dell for free, go buy a Focus.
Go buy a Ford Focus.
Go buy a Ford Focus. The complete, like, most ridiculous thing I've ever seen ad campaign today. I saw it. It's you're gonna have to get both of them fixed every other week.
Well, I mean, at least you can drive. You can drive to the CompUSA or Best Buy to get that computer fixed while you drive to the Ford dealer
to get the car fixed. Yeah,
and then you can take the taxi home.
Wow.
So everyone wins except you. Well, you got a free computer out of it, though.
That never works.
That never works. That works for 10 minutes.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Uh-oh.
What?
Headline news right here.
Uh-oh.
Spammers adopt slippery tactics to bypass ISP defenses.
Dun-da-da-da. What do they do?
Let's find out how this is news. It doesn't sound like news. It
doesn't sound like news, no. But it's slippery.
Yes. Oh,
so slippery is always interesting.
Well, it's the register. It's from the register again. So, at least they write comedically. At least some of them know. It says spam levels are rising, even though the percentage of junk mail spewed out from compromised PCs directly is on the slide. Tests by email security firm Message Labs on 90,000 inbound connections to its honeypot servers on the 1st of October 2004 revealed that 76% of the connections came from open proxy computers or zombies, computers typically compromised by a virus or Trojan infection. These same tests on the 1st of February 2005 showed this number has dropped to 59%. Message Labs stats show that spam levels have risen from 72% of inbound email traffic in September 04 to 83% of inbound email by January 2005. Put together, the findings provide evidence that spammers are changing tactics in order to get around the defenses established by the ISPs.
Interesting.
This sucks.
So the amount of emails have gone down, but the spam is still going up.
Not...
That's weird. I guess people are getting
annoyed with email and...
They're spamming some other way.
The thing here is that they're not spamming in means of how they used to, which now gets blocked, so there's, like, no point in spamming in that pace. Now they're finding other ways to get around the filters, which, in a sense, is good.
In a sense, it's bad.
How is it good?
In a sense, it's good for what?
You don't know. Because the ISPs are going to have to fix their holes.
Well, if they want to.
That's true, but I mean, the ones who do will be able to advertise that we have this much spam protection over this type of spamming. Well, of course, the average consumer doesn't know crap about that.
Right, they just... So. The average user logs in, signs into their email using Outlook, and doesn't understand what
happened.
No,
they use the web interface, the average email user.
No, either or, depending on your ISP.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you're using AOL, you're using the web interface. If you're using, like...
No, if you're using AOL, you're using AOL's client.
You're using AOL's client?
Yeah. Mm. Or the interface.
Or the web interface when you're not home.
Right.
Either way, it looks the same goddamn way. As for other services, they have you set up Outlook automatically. And, you know, that's that. You're getting spammed anyway. The big problem is that most users don't know what they're doing. And they don't patch their own system.
Right.
People still running Windows 98. Haven't upgraded or updated anything. How do we stop that?
It's up to each individual user to go about it their own way.
That, or we could just set up a coalition to bitch slap people who don't update.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Worth a shot, though.
It'd be nice. I'd like to be part of that.
There should be some sort of group that goes up to people's houses and cuts off their internet connection if they haven't updated their computer in at least a month.
That's not nice.
Well, they're making it worse for the rest of us.
Well, if their internet's cut off, they can't update their computer.
Exactly, but they can't infect any other one else's either.
Hmm. Well, I know some...
It's true.
Some ISPs do this.
I know, they do.
They already do, so...
Some ISPs will turn you off and say, until you fix your holes, we are not going to let you access the web. And, by the way, we're still charging you.
Some do that?
Yeah, they'll still charge you.
Is that your ISP by any chance? Yeah. Assholes.
They do that. They tell you that they're going to still charge you until you fix your hole or you cancel it. So if you want to get online, you fix your hole. It's like a push tactic. It's so mean.
Yeah. So they have to give you some time before they kick you offline or else you can't fix it.
No.
They're just like,
they give you a warning letter.
Oh, okay.
They give you like two warning letters, and on the third warning, you're pretty much cut off. I mean, they give you some time, about a month or so. That's more than enough time to just hit the update button on your computer.
Yeah, but you know that takes a couple clicks there.
It's so hard to get there. Start. Oh fuck, I'm lost.
Anyway, it is now time for a special update on BassNet Radio.
Oh shit! Ooh.
What kind of special update would we have?
I have no idea.
Find out in a moment. The special update is that I'm using a different mixer this week. Not only is that the special update,
this is awful.
It's an update to you guys sitting there as well, because right now the mixer does not have a gate on it.
Oh god.
So there's a lot of hum coming out.
So now we're gonna have to learn
how to... being a sound Nazi, I have to apply gate on all this, which is very easy.
Okay.
I'm not gonna do it now.
So are we gonna have to learn how to properly talk?
Why are you telling us this?
Just filling time, and because it's just about time for Distro of the Week as well, which I will do right now. Now it's time for Distro of the Week. The Distro of the Week is nothing more than a report on a distro that was used by one or more of us throughout the week. Why are you guys cracking up?
You missed it. Turn the microphone back on?
What was that?
Sound nuts.
I turned it back on. It took a second, but I turned it back on, damn it.
Keep going.
Yes. By distro, I mean anything from a small homemade OS and a few utilities on a floppy to pretty much some 3D set of Linux, KDE, and every possible application that could be built to run on it.
Yeah.
Also know that by being the distro of the week doesn't mean it's a good distro. It all depends on how it went using it. If you have a distro you know of that you would like a report done on, just drop a line to basenet@slickzero.net. And this week's distro is Devil Linux. Devil Linux is designed to be a simple router, firewall, server. Well, could be any of the three. It depends on what you want it to be. It boots from an external source, such as a CD-ROM or USB storage device. It is extremely simple, and as mentioned, only does what you need it to. No extra crap. Not even cron unless you want it. And that's a very common thing for many distributions. The website devil-linux.org, again, I'm dyslexic. Has a good example of this with a screenshot displaying the output of PSAX, which only shows 12 non-kernel processors are running. Which is pretty impressive. Usually you see a lot of crap on there with a default install.
Or so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't have X, but, well...
Well, you can add X if you need it. But
no, it doesn't, it doesn't have it. X.
No X support? God.
Who? But seriously, I mean, who would need that when running a router or a firewall or a server or anything of that like? It allows you to set up a configuration source on boot, like a USB storage device, floppy, hard disk, partition, or anything like that. This is helpful if you would choose to use this on a production box and would like it to work past a power failure.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's always a good feature, you know.
Technically, it has a very basic GUI. Very, very basic.
That's good.
It has one?
Yeah.
It's called text.
Well, yeah.
It's like, not really
it has,
a GUI.
Yeah.
Oh, and curses.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the install and for
that
setup.
That counts.
It's a very nice setup.
Not really.
You can't really load
an image or anything on it.
For testing, I did not have an extra box with two network cards to work with, but it seemed to do what one would expect everything in the included setup program to do, which was a very nice setup program, menu-based, end curses.
Yeah.
Very basic.
We're taking a look at it on D-Man's box.
It's basic, but it's usable.
Nice.
All around, it's a nice distro, but not for those who aren't exactly sure what they want to use it for. Because it's definitely not going to be a general-purpose distro, like Nopix, an example of another bootable distro. Is it Nopix or Canopix? Because I know...
I think it's Nopix. I don't like Canopix.
Yeah, I think so too, because you always... You see the pronunciation of GNU. Because some... And good, Genome.
Genome.
It's...
Yeah, it's
all this open source pronunciation crap. It's just
whoever made it.
Yeah,
they need to. Someone needs to add an open source dictionary so you can just learn a pronunciation key for it.
Well, personally, I think
it's called the wiki
because it had a pretty picture of Tux with devil horns and a pitchfork. That's really why I told Slick to do it. Because I like the picture of Tux on the main page.
It looks like he ate the BSD guy and just took over.
Oh wow!
I wonder what it's based
it
on.
It does. It's a little.
I know it's not its own OS, but what is it based on?
I don't know. It could be its own thing.
How they replaced the picture in Lilo with little? That's fucked up.
It looks like Slackware.
No, it doesn't. Not bit. The colors. It's probably Debian based. I don't know. We'll have to. What? No, you installed it?
It didn't appear to be Debian based. It was probably created like they knew how to, you know.
So they did for Linux read from Linux scratch.
Read Linux from scratch, maybe.
Yeah.
Actually, I was playing with Linux from scratch last week.
Were you?
And it was I got to a brick wall because glibc on the second part of the install after the change root didn't seem to be working. It just failed on me. I forget what the error was at the moment. I don't have the computer I was using it with next to me.
Downstairs or over there? Okay.
But yeah, it's not fun.
Well, yeah, in any case, what do you think of... Is there anything missing from Devil Linux that you think should have been in there? Because it went so minimalistic?
Not really. Because for what it's used for... It's just a very simple system. It's not made to be like a web browsing environment, email checking thing. So, I mean, it had what it needed to do its job.
Okay.
Only what it needed, of course, but what it needed. When it's made to do certain things, then that's all it's going to do.
Okay.
It's very simple.
Well, I mean, that looks like that's it.
That's it. Does anybody have any shout-outs?
I just wanted to make some remind people about the new sections that we're trying to do. The questions, email them for
email
us.
Email us stuff.
Email us, because if we just wanted to hear our own voices, we'd listen to ourselves when we talk to ourselves.
I do that.
We usually do that. Yeah.
I ignore myself.
Oh, okay.
See, that's when you have a problem.
And also, something to look for in the coming weeks, we are going to try to start doing some email interviews.
Email interviews?
Some eaterviews.
Eaterviews.
Eaterviews. So
that'd be interesting.
So just some things to be looking for in the future.
Okay, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to everyone at the 2600 meeting last month.
Of course.
Actually, last week, actually. What's up? This one's for you. And stay tuned next week. We got a special guest coming, hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. I would have to shout out, let's see, UT Crazy. Of course, because I'm helping him out, giving him a few clips and whatnot for his Hacker documentary. Gotcha. Ask for a shout-out, and of course,
and don't forget,
give him a shout-out.
One important shout-out also with DDP, they got it back working.
Oh, yeah.
That's good to know.
Cool. According to one of their latest episodes, they don't know how.
They don't know how.
But they did. They got it back. The show seems to be going on again, so that's pretty cool. Yeah, speaking of UT Crazy, him and Stank Dog seem to be
at wit's end there.
Yeah.
And they'll be fine.
Yeah, I think UT Crazy was regretting some of the things he stated, but oh well. Shit happens. And
you move on.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that about does it. We hope you have enjoyed this show. If you have any questions, comments, or even a suggestion for a new section, send an email to basenet@slickzero.net. If you're listening to this on DDP Hack Radio, up next is Binary Revolution Radio. Have a good week.